Time to start another conversation with Silas Rossi. Silas, how are you? Yeah, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And yeah, this is a big topic for us, or a big topic in general. And yeah, the topic today is habits. And I know it's something you've spent a fair amount of your life thinking about and developing, both on a personal level, but on a professional level too. And I don't want to say I'm newer to the game, because habits are certainly universal. We all develop habits throughout our lives, whether they're conscious or unconscious, or positive or negative. But in terms of thinking about this with that actual terminology, habits, in the context of mountain craft, whether it's recreational travel or guiding, is a little bit newer. We kind of mentioned that earlier, like the actual term habits is a little bit more all encompassing than some of the other terms that might fall underneath that umbrella. So Silas, on that note, I just thought maybe we should just start off with this, the question, like, what does a habit mean to you? Like, what does that term mean as you see it now?
Yeah, totally. Habits for me, yeah, like you said, is a relatively new term, or new to me term, that I've been using more and more. And it kind of encompasses like a bunch of things. For many, many years, I've tried to organize my thoughts and like how I do things and how I teach things into like these systems, right? And the systematic approach of like organizing things in a progression and being able to systemize what we're doing in the field has been like my approach to climbing and teaching. And so I was using this word systems for a while, and systemization. And then I was focusing a lot after that little like kind of bunch of years into like more patterns and like how we recreate the same patterns over and over again. And this idea of pattern recognition being a big topic, and in just the ability to have these things replay in different scenarios, but in a similar way. And then I started thinking about it in terms of habits. And I think that habits encompasses all of these things. So systems like kind of a conceptual idea of looking at things, and just these, the whole topic to me now is habits, just like patterns and systemization of what we're doing in the field. So they can be conscious, they can be subconscious. We all have these patterns and habits that we do. And so that for me is where this whole conversation has been going. And I'm pretty excited to like dive into kind of the weeds with this one for sure. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. I mean, I think the interesting thing is like developing these ways of thinking and developing and being active and trying to develop habits gives us a lot of benefits in the field. And you know, some of that, those benefits are safety benefits, but some of those benefits are just efficiency or fun, and just ways of kind of being, which I think are really interesting. For some reason, I keep gravitating back towards systems of thinking and habits are based around more safety, but maybe because that's, we spend so much of our time thinking about hazards and risks, and how do we recognize hazards and risks, and how do we employ systems to deal with that. But I think that's, it is kind of more encompassing than just that piece. You know, for example, like, you know, being at a transition, do you have a specific habit that you do at a transition? Let's just say belaying somebody up, or two people up, and now how are we going to connect them into the anchor, right? Before we redo all of our ropes and take off on another pitch. Like, there's definitely some great habits you can develop around a spot like that versus having no habits, for example. So.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we all have these habits, right? And whether it's getting in the car and putting our seatbelt on, or waking up in the morning and making coffee, like we have these patterns and habits that we do oftentimes without thinking to some extent. And that's true in climbing and guiding as well. And I guess, I think you and I have been very thoughtful and have approached like the curriculum we've been teaching in a very organized way. But I think the reality is that for most people and most climbers, they probably have a lot of habits. They of course have a lot of habits, some that they realize and some they don't. And I think my idea with this whole like systemization and conceptualization of ideas and concepts is that we introduce people to, and I'm going to use the word best as a, I have no other better way to say it, these best practices, these best habits and best patterns to be doing in the field as a way of being not only safer, but also more productive. And almost all the time in climbing, you have to trade safety for security, right? And I think if we focused on designing these habits and procedures really well, we actually can have a benefit in both. And so if I think about my time like guiding the Tetons many years ago, there were a lot of really old school guides there that knew the mountain really well and could travel pretty quickly and pretty efficiently, but oftentimes without as much security as I wanted. So my whole goal there was to both be as fast as they were, which I wasn't at first, but also offer more security. And I think that concept plays through to a lot of climbing and guiding in general. Is like, if you're more savvy, you actually can be safer and faster or more efficient or more productive than most climbers and guides out there. And it comes from being thoughtful and having this idea of being like a safe, productive climber from the beginning. Like it's a mindset to start with, right? So that's where my brain goes as a kind of like a big picture concept with this whole idea.
Yeah, I've always thought that, and I oftentimes make the comment like the reason why I spent a lot of time getting good at the skills in this field is so I don't have to cut corners, right? Because I'm fast enough with doing things well that cutting the corners is just dumb and not worth it. And oftentimes cutting the corners, you know, eventually it catches up with you. So it's like just get really good at the skills and have this mindset and develop these systems which become habits. So now it's like it's no big deal to do whatever. You're going to be just as fast, if not faster, and move more safely than the person next to you who doesn't have these systems and habits in place. And that's really important to me. Now we're in the money, right? It's like if I can move more efficiently and be safer, it's just win-win. And I think that's where this comes really important, these concepts.
Yeah. And so for me, like having that like attitude or mantra, like I'm a climber who, you know, climbs safely or is savvy or whatever, like you want that mantra to be, is a good place to start. And then like this whole idea that you and I, these ideas that you and I have like been thinking about for 25 years about like, okay, like what are the best systems and habits that we can impose on people and teach people to set them up well for success through their whole career, right? Like, I mean, like closing the rope system is a really obvious, great example now that you and I were not taught early on in our career. But after a certain amount of time doing this and thinking about it, it's like very clear that we should probably, like the habit should be a conservative habit that works every time and that frees up bandwidth and covers your butt for when you do make a mistake, which is inevitable at some point. And then if that habit is like automatic and you just close the rope system, say on rappelling, and you tie knots every time, you can always make a more aggressive choice, of course, right? But it's a conscious choice. And the automatic default when you're stressed or tired or the weather is bad is to have that more conservative habit in place already. So you don't have to think about it as quickly. And I think it takes a long time to develop the discipline to create those habits early on. And the idea, I think, with the concepts that you and I have taught and are teaching now, I think the idea is that we give these concepts early on in the career that are good habits and will follow someone and evolve with them as they develop and get better and better and better, and not just dead end in like, say, single pitch terrain or in cragging terrain, like those concepts can grow and get more nuanced as people get more proficient and skilled. But at least that habit's a baseline function that covers our butts in a default kind of setting.
Yeah, I definitely think that's pretty important. You know, just like you mentioned, when we add stress into these situations, and you will, when you're guiding, you're always going to have stressors from one way or another, you know, even just on a normal day, let alone some more of a negative event happening. But as soon as you add stress in, you know, it kind of breaks us apart. So having great habits, and especially ones that lean towards conservative decisions, just really, like you said, it covers your butt in those stressful situations when you're more apt to miss something. You know, so it's kind of interesting. I also think, you know, this topic is pretty expansive. It's not just like I do this sequence as a habit. It's like I'm in this stressful situation, so my habit is to slow down. Mm-hmm. It's to take a deep breath. So it can be in every aspect of what we do in our work, but also in life, which I think is interesting. But Silas, actually, let's just talk about like habit formation, like kind of like the pieces of like, okay, so we want to develop certain practices or habits in our work or our life. We'll just keep it in the guiding and climbing and skiing context. But what are some like ways to start easing into that? Like you said, we've introduced that, but you know, habits are tricky because we want them to stick, right? And we want to always do them. So what are some of your thoughts about how we can kind of get into that process of developing new habits that will stick and be useful for us?
Of developing habits that stick. Yeah. Great question. You and I have read this book called Atomic Habits, which is a really great resource. I'm actually rereading it again currently. It's an amazing resource. And one of the big things that they advocate in that book is just making it simple, right? Like having a system in place to facilitate the habit. So I'm 40 years old now. And I didn't basically work out for my entire life until like 5 years ago. And the impetus to start working out when I was 35 was that I got in a bike accident, right? So I crashed my mountain bike and got pretty hurt, broke my scapula, a couple ribs, a couple of vertebrae. And I wasn't sure I'd be able to climb ever again. So I spent 2 months like basically on the couch with my arm in a sling and recovering and just chilling out all summer. And during that summer, I was motivated. I knew that I had to like come back into shape, right? That started with physical therapy. And so I just started building a home gym because I've tried to go to the gym before and it just doesn't work for me. Like I can't find the time, even though the gym is relatively close to me, I can't find the time to plan to actually make the trip to the gym, spend an hour or two at the gym and then come back. So I built this home gym, and that home gym was one of the keys to making it easy and systemized for me to start working out regularly. The other part was just hiring a personal trainer, which was huge. So I didn't have to worry about like actually creating my plan, but I had a plan that was there in place that I could just do. So I think it has to be, for one, it has to be easy to do and it makes sense and not take a lot of thought and preparation time or whatever you don't have much of to do. And I think the other part has to be that it's fun and rewarding, right? So, those are the two pieces that stick to my mind right away. How about for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. Like, if it's not simple, you're not going to do it, right? And I think that piece is pretty huge. And the fact that you get positive feedback from that process is also pretty huge. So it's, you know, I'm also rereading Atomic Habits right now, ironically, and taking away more thoughts from that. But yeah, if anybody can like do something once, but for it to stick as a habit is really challenging. So if the barrier to entry is too high, then you're not going to do it. So I think the other really big thing I think that's important in this whole process, and actually what they highlight in that book, which I think is important, is like, we're not trying to like change major things all at once. We're trying to change small things, little 1% things that we just do every time. And it's a lot more manageable to do that in these small steps, and that it's the accumulation of these small changes that become habits that ultimately affect us in a really positive way. It could be like we're rappelling, it's dark, we've been out all day, storm's coming in, and we have this habit built in and we miss the catastrophic event because we've built in this little habit that's a 1% thing that all of a sudden plays out in this one scenario, right? I think that's the big takeaway. And also the other big takeaway for me is like, it's not so much about the outcome driven. It's about the process of what this, of developing these habits and how enjoying that process of doing these things versus necessarily the outcome. Like the process of doing a really full partner check is more important to me in some ways than the outcome. Like the outcome is important too, but I really, really appreciate the connection that doing that partner check does to me and my other person on the other end of the rope, and how we kind of get another check on our system and kind of bring us closer together in some ways. So that process is really important, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, there's a really great quote. There are several very great quotes from that book, but one is reliable solutions to recurring problems. And so I've heard it said that the things that you, like if you spend some money or time investing in something in your life, you're probably more likely to enjoy something that you find solves a problem for you as opposed to being additive to your life, right? So if you, what's a good example? Well, say I can't think of a great example off the top of my head. under the gun here. Let's keep going with that for a minute. But basically, if you just add great things to your life, that'll be less satisfying than solving a bigger problem in your life, right? So for me, like, cool, like I'd love to climb harder. That was always something I wanted to do over my years climbing and guiding. But that wasn't enough motivation in and of itself just to start a workout routine, which I knew would get me there, right? As opposed to, well, I have this problem where I have a broken scapula and I'm not going to be able to ever climb again until I get this routine in place. Like that was the impetus for me to start working out again. Like I wasn't gonna be able to do my work ever again if I didn't take a pragmatic and proactive approach to working out and getting stronger and rehabilitating. So that's one quote I like a lot. Reliable solutions to recurring problems, because we have these things that happen in our lives all the time, daily, weekly, monthly, that are issues and are a total pain in the butt and are a source of frustration or lack of motivation, or in climbing, big accidents, right? Like closing the rope system on rappel is a great habit, reliable solution to a recurring problem, which is people wrap off the end of the ropes all the time, right? And the same is true for tying the knot in the end of a rope on single pitch terrain, because people lower off, and if the rope's too short for the pitch, they get lowered off in the rope all the time. So reliable solution, again, is to close the rope system to a recurring problem, which is the rope is too darn short for whatever you're trying to do with it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think the other part that kind of goes with this in terms of like habit formation that I thought was out of this book and that I thought was really powerful is like not focusing on what you want, but who you want to be in terms of like, like you said, I want to get stronger. Okay. Well, I always say that too, but then it's kind of like this amorphous loose topic versus now I'm on the same train with like the fitness thing. Like I hired a trainer and like just who I want to be now is different than when I was a year ago with my trainer. And now I have this habit of doing my workouts every time. Like I almost never miss a workout and it's just become part of me. And it's way easier to keep that habit of an excitement about working out and like, all right, I want to get, now I can get to the next step. So make it harder for me for this next phase. And now I can have more of a goal of where I want to be. So I think, you know, you can't just have a blanket, I want this to happen. You have to actually decide, like, I want to be the person who does this. So I want to be the person who always does a partner check, right? Or always does a trailhead beacon check. I always want to do that. And that's ultimately the root of the change, versus just trying to have an outcome that you're trying to shoot for. That's a lot harder to stay true to that course with habit formation, in my mind.
I think you're absolutely right, for sure. Yeah, like we often think about like Western civilization is this mindset of like, cool, like once I have this thing, I'll be able to do this, and then I'll be whatever, be happy, be satisfied, right? Like we kind of move from like have, do, be. And I would encourage folks to actually flip that around. And just to your point, like if we start with the be, right? Like be, like I am a climber who is smart and takes time where I need it. Or I think in our case, a lot of times it's like, I am a professional mountain guide. Like I take this job seriously and I don't cut corners. I do the best job I possibly can, et cetera, right? So if we can embody whatever you are interested in becoming as the person, like what does this type of person do in this case? Like, how do I act? How do I behave? How do I behave as a person in this moment? That will bleed into, okay, well, this type of person that is brave and takes calculated risks would do this. So once I have the embodiment of this idea of how to behave, that trends into the practices I will do. Like if I'm a professional mountain guide, like I do system checks and I communicate well with my clients, right? If I'm a smart, savvy climber who takes calculated risks, then I do the same thing, like systematic checks. I close the system on my ropes whenever possible. And it takes discipline to create that behavior, right? So behave, do, and then if you do those things, you will have, in our case, a safer, more productive, fun experience. I'm pretty convinced. So like we create the reality we want, right? But I think in that category, in that direction, so be, do, have, really is what we want to shoot for, and not just the, you know, like I often said, like, man, if I had 5 pounds of muscle on my upper body, I'd be totally unstoppable as a climber. I mean, not an untrue statement, but that's as far as it ever went, right? Like just having 5 pounds of muscle on my upper body wasn't enough to create these habits to be this person. Like I had to turn it around, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge topic. I mean, it's interesting watching a lot of newer guides coming into this. And, you know, there's people are so wrapped up sometimes with learning all this stuff. There's so much stuff to know. It's so overwhelming. And realistically, the development of some very basic, simple habits goes a lot longer and a lot further than trying to like figure out all this other stuff. Like all that stuff comes in time, but like, you know, just the acts of like locking your carabiners, right? You know, that habit of like, finish this task before you move on. You know, I'm a guy who finishes the task before I move on to the next one. Like those are such powerful tools. And it's interesting, like how this is like for both of us coming to us after years of trying to be good at this. And all of a sudden now we're like, oh, we're like more fully realizing these patterns and these habits and the power that they give us, and partially being able to articulate it. And I think that's really, really important. I think it's a relatively hard thing to pass on, in my experience, to a younger generation or a newer generation of guides in particular, or even recreational climbers.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are so many new things all at once for us at that stage, right? Like everything is new and everything's a variable. So you're literally trying to figure out, what's important. And when everything's important, then you can't focus on anything because you're trying to have this like diffused attention to every single detail. Which I think is why this is so valuable to me at this point in my teaching and instruction, is that like, it's like, I want to grab someone and be like, look, I have the answer that you're looking for. And it's these like 10 habits, I promise you. And if you can develop the discipline to just practice these 10 habits, man, your career is going to be freaking awesome. like that's how I feel right now. And I wish that someone had done that for me. You and I had great mentorship. But I think when I think back now, like I think that because we had that great mentorship, that this is actually a step beyond the level of, I don't know what the right word is, polish, if you will, in the education that we were getting. Like everything we got was great. And man, if we had been given this list of 10 things that I have in mind, I think it would just be such a huge step forward. And as we think about this whole like gym to crag mentality is really big, or rock climbers going into the mountains, I have those 10 things that I want to give like each of those demographics of people to focus on moving forward. I don't know. It's everything to me right now. Like it's like my whole career boiled up into like these like bullet points, which is kind of crazy to think about.
So Silas, do you have a couple that you want to share?
Well, I could share a couple. Yeah.
Just a couple and not all 10.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think not to keep blabbing about nothing, but you know, I think like I spent personally, like, I don't know, like I spent like 15 years, at least 10 to 12 years trying to not do things the same way. Like that was instilled pretty early on. Like Acadia Mountain Guides was like, cool. Like if you're, I mean, and the point was good, right? Like don't be complacent. So do things differently than you did before to create more proficiency and more well-roundedness. So I think that people that are early on in their climbing careers and guiding careers need to do that as well. Like we need to be really well-versed in an enormous variety of techniques and proficiencies, while also not losing sight of the core principles that I think are these fundamental habits. So I literally spent like 10 years trying to go as fast as possible and develop new skills here and there to create this like huge like foundation foundation to build from for any situation across the board in any environment at any time with any people that I could just pick and play like the right tool for the right time. And now after doing that for so long, I've kind of like come back to the core. I think that you and I are only able to do that because we explored so much. Like you have to go explore to find out what for you is the real core of the issue here. And the reality honestly is that most people, most climbers or guides just aren't going to spend as much time as you and I have going through these practices and thinking about this thing, these things as critically to get it boiled down to the basics that I think I've, at least for myself, I've gotten to. That probably sounds like I'm bragging a little bit. I'm really not. Like, I just think it's like a critical mass of time that has to get put in to get things back to that simplicity. Because when you start out, things are super simple. As you grow, they get really complex and complicated. And then, you know, at some point, hopefully they again get really simple and you can be, like we said, more productive and faster and safer all at the same time. And I want to help people shortcut the 22 years it's taken me to get to this point by giving them some simple criteria, some simple habits that'll serve them well and be safe and productive in the field.
I mean, you essentially just wrote several chapters of my book. That is like verbatim what I think about now. That was really just a synthesis of kind of my experiences over the last couple of decades as well, since we had such a similar kind of foundational interactions, you know, with John and the Katie Mountain Guides. So it looks like we're running out of time. I want to stop this and I want to reboot this so we can kind of continue, and I'll give us a second just to chill our brains out and continue this conversation. Sound good?
That sounds excellent.
All right. We'll be back in a second.